Arnold Spirit Jr. was born with water on the brain, a condition that nearly killed him as an infant and left him with a stutter, a lisp, seizures, and thick glasses that magnify his mismatched eyes. On the Spokane Indian Reservation, these differences make him a walking target. Kids call him retard. He gets beaten up regularly. His only refuge? Drawing cartoons that speak when his voice fails him, creating worlds where he isn't trapped by poverty and pain. When his beloved dog Oscar falls violently ill, the true horror of reservation poverty reveals itself. There's no money for a vet, no way for a 14-year-old to earn hundreds of dollars quickly. His father ends Oscar's suffering with a rifle shot behind the shed. Junior wants to hate his parents for their poverty, but he can't. His mother could have gone to college, his father could have been a musician, but reservation Indians rarely get those chances. The cycle feels inescapable. Being Indian means being destined for poverty, and poverty teaches you nothing except how to stay poor. Everything changes when his geometry teacher, Mr. P, visits during junior suspension for throwing a book. Instead of anger, Mr. P brings revelation. He confesses that as a young teacher, he was instructed to kill the Indian to save the child, destroying culture to force assimilation. Looking at Junior with tears streaming, Mr. P delivers the message that will shatter everything. You have to take your hope and go somewhere where other people have hope. Junior announces he's transferring to Reardon, the rich white farm town 22 miles away. When he tells Rowdy, his best friend and protector for 14 years, Rowdy's eyes narrow dangerously. "Don't touch me, you retarded fag," Rowdy screams before punching Junior hard in the face. Junior's heart breaks into 14 pieces, one for each year of our friendship. His best friend has become his worst enemy. This is the price of seeking a better life. On Junior's first day at Reardon, white kids stare at him like I was Bigfoot, this Indian boy with a black eye from Rowdy's goodbye punch. When Roger the Giant calls him racist names, Junior punches him, following reservation fighting rules. But Roger just walks away confused, leaving Junior feeling like an alien on a strange planet. He discovers he's split in two, Junior on the reservation, Arnold at Reardon. Moving between worlds makes Junior feel like a stranger everywhere, half Indian in one place, half white in the other, like a part-time job that doesn't pay well. He hides his poverty, letting everyone assume he has casino money. When panic over $5 leads to Roger discovering Junior usually walks or hitchhikes 22 miles home, Roger surprisingly loans him $40 and offers regular rides. The cultural disconnect continues. Junior dresses as a homeless person for Halloween. Penelope wears the same costume as political protest. Junior lies and claims he's protesting too. Later, trick-or-treating on the res, three guys in Frankenstein masks jump him and steal his money, reminding him he's a traitor. Through these painful experiences, Junior gradually discovers something surprising. He's smarter than most of the white kids. When he corrects Mr. Dodge about petrified wood, Gordy backs him up, beginning an unlikely friendship. Junior forms connections that challenge cultural boundaries. His relationship with Penelope blossoms into a friendship with potential, though her father's racist threats reflect community prejudices. They share yearning for transformation. Penelope dreams of studying architecture at Stanford to build beautiful things and be remembered, mirroring Junior's artistic aspirations. Gordy's intellectual friendship proves equally transformative. When Junior seeks advice about loving a white girl, Gordy declares him just a racist asshole like everybody else, highlighting how society values white beauty above all. This harsh truth-telling establishes respect as they form their own tribe of two. Basketball becomes Junior's pathway to broader acceptance. Making varsity as a freshman, he becomes coach's secret weapon. Yet while other players get compared to Reardon legends, Junior remains distinctly categorized, always an Indian first, making him feel like one of those Indian scouts who led the U.S. cavalry against other Indians. Roger evolves from bully to trusted friend. Junior's vulnerable admission of poverty brings empathetic tears from Penelope. After his sister's death, his classmates demonstrate genuine care, leading to his realization, These white kids and teachers who were once suspicious of me had learned to care about me, maybe even love me. Junior has attended 42 funerals by age 14, compared to maybe 5 for his white classmates. About 90% were alcohol-related. His sister Mary dies in a Montana trailer fire after passing out drunk. Eugene, his father's best friend, is shot in the face by his drunk friend Bobby in a 7-Eleven parking lot. Bobby can't remember pulling the trigger and later hangs himself in jail. After losing his grandmother, sister, and Eugene, Junior draws countless cartoons mocking God. Gordy shows him Euripides. What greater grief than the loss of one's native land? Junior realizes Indians have lost everything: land, languages, songs, dances, each other. To survive, he makes lists of joyful things and turns drawing into his grieving ceremony. At the cemetery, his father plays saxophone during a family picnic. Love and death, he says. It's all love and death. Junior learns survival means carrying grief without destruction, honoring the dead by living fully. Basketball becomes where Junior's divided worlds collide most dramatically. At Wellpinit, he was merely decent, just a rebounder who could run without tripping. But at Reardon, something magical happens. He becomes good. It's all about confidence. At Wellpinit, nobody expected him to succeed. At Reardon, his coach and teammates need him to be good, so he becomes good. The climactic moment arrives when Reardon faces Wellpinit in a rematch. Coach assigns Junior to guard Rowdy the whole game. At the opening jump, Rowdy intercepts and races to dunk. Junior impossibly jumps higher than Rowdy for the only time in his life, taking the ball right out of his hands. Rowdy's face registers absolute shock. He thought he was the only Indian Superman. Racing down court, Junior stops at a three-point line and head fakes. As Rowdy jumps over him, they lock eyes. Rowdy knows he's blown it. Junior sticks out his tongue like Michael Jordan and swishes his three-pointer. The gym exploded. Reardon beats Wellpinit by 40 points. But looking at the Wellpinit players, Junior has a profound realization. His team is actually Goliath. His white teammates all have cars, electronics, and parents with jobs. Those Wellpinit players, some hadn't eaten breakfast. Many lived with alcoholic parents. None would go to college. Junior runs to the bathroom and weeps, not tears of happiness, but tears of shame. I had broken my best friend's heart. Victory tastes like ashes when you realize you've become the oppressor. After basketball season, Junior emails Rowdy apologizing for the victory. "We'll kick your asses next year," Rowdy replies, "and you'll cry like the little faggot you are." Though harsh, it's the first time Rowdy has spoken to Junior since he left the res. Junior's understanding of identity evolves. He realizes he belongs to many tribes: the Spokane tribe, but also American immigrants, basketball players, bookworms, cartoonists, chronic masturbators, teenage boys, small-town kids, Pacific Northwesterners, tortilla chips and salsa lovers, the tribe of poverty, and the tribe of funeral goers. The emotional resolution comes when Rowdy shows up asking to shoot hoops. They play without talking. They are basketball twins. Rowdy mentions old-time nomadic Indians who moved searching for food and water. "Except for you, you're the nomadic one," he tells Junior. He'd always known Junior would leave, would travel the world. He'd even dreamed of Junior standing happy on the Great Wall of China. "You're an old-time nomad," Rowdy says. "You're going to keep moving all over the world in search of food and water and grazing land." Junior cries as he thanks him. "Just make sure you send me postcards, you asshole," Rowdy says. They play until dark, until the streetlights come on, until the moon is huge and golden in the dark sky. They don't keep score. Some games aren't about winning, but about finding your way back to each other. Junior weeps for his tribe, knowing more Spokanes will die next year, mostly from alcohol. But he also weeps because he knows he will never drink, never kill himself, and will have a better life. He hopes his tribe will someday forgive him for leaving and that he will forgive himself.